to use the town lot.
We already started rental, like, a lot because of...
Let's get started. How you doing? 1:31. Stand your ground.
Oh, God. It just makes me crazy. You know, sometimes I have a brother that's very much like me.
Gotta die for some reason.
Now I have no ulterior motive because I already know I'm going to hell.
I don't know, Adam Taylor, was this recording of what you said accurately?
Let's call this order. You're both home. Get started.
You can dress him up, but I'll just, yeah.
He's covered mine.
Starting at 1:32.
I mean, I'm not objecting to that.
Taking minutes. I'm filling in for co-chair Sheldon. Councilman Smiley. Councilman Street is present. Councilman Retta. Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Councilman Hollins. Councilwoman Diller. And Councilman Carter. Councilman Retta.
Yeah, you said it. That's okay.
You were looking at me.
I was waiting for you to say something else.
Motion to approve the minutes of the April 3rd meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Moving right along, I guess somebody's gonna do the Fox Point Little League lease agreement.
Could I, Mr. Chairman, provide a little introduction to this, and then we'll have folks from the department. This is a lease that will, when it goes to signature, go to the Fox Point Little League, which is a team, a league that's been playing in the River Road Park for many, many years. And they've been operating on a year-to-year lease, and they expressed a desire to have a long-term lease with the county to aid in their capital and fundraising efforts. And with the consultation with the department, we are moving in this direction, and that lease agreement is here for council's review and voting on this evening. So, Bob, if you want to maybe give people some details.
Councilman, that was pretty close to what I would have been saying.
Uh-huh.
This is a long overdue lease for Fox Point. The beauty of this lease is we're going to create more opportunities for kids to get involved in Little League in that area, which is always a good thing that we as the county can't always provide. I talked with Paul Johnson earlier today. We spend about $5,000 a year to maintain that facility through grass cutting, maintenance of the field, those type of duties. And that's all encompassed in a permit that they do once a year. I think it's $400. So I think it's pretty clear that we're saving a lot of money and we're freeing up some of our park employees to do other more meaningful things. We also have a $190 admin fee that they will pay every year. That's so we can go out and inspect the fields if there's any complaints or things that we have to take care of internally. That gives us the ability to do that and get some cost back from that. So it's pretty much a straightforward, normal athletic league lease that we have.
Yeah. Councilman Retta?
Yes, Councilman Retta.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Councilman.
When they do the maintenance on the field, who does the maintenance on the fields? Since you say we're going to be saving?
The parks department.
Okay, they're not going to be doing it?
They won't be doing that anymore. The league will now take responsibility of that leased property year after year.
Right, the league's going to do it?
Yes. Okay. So that'll free us up.
Now, do you go out and inspect?
I do that once a year.
Oh.
Or when they have a problem.
Okay. Do you have it marked down? I mean,
it's in a database that we have.
Okay, I mean, you do that periodically or something?
At least once a year. Some leagues I spend a lot more time in. I won't comment. So, but the opportunity here is they're providing more opportunities for kids.
I might come back.
Councilman Carter.
Yeah, for greater detailed information for the members of council attending the committee meeting today, there is a photo of the site that gives details about the actual field arrangement and parcel that the league will be responsible for under the terms of the lease. If folks want to look at that.
Councilman, I'd be more than happy to send out that aerial shot for all council members.
With what you're inspecting, is that just, and what you expect inspect to maintain or whatever, if there's a problem, does the county take care of that problem?
No. Well, yes and no. Our expectation is we're leasing that property to the lake in an as-is condition. Fortunately for this lake, it's already exist. So if for some reason somebody's walking in the park, the grass is high, or there's some kind of issue there, that would be managed up to me. I will contact the lake president and we'll take care of that problem. If they want to do something other than what's in the lease, they must have the general manager's approval. If they want to put a concession stand up or they want to create another field, they would have to have the general manager's permission to do that, although that does not alleviate any of the land use processes that they would have to go through to do such a concession stand or other things like that.
Is there anybody on council? Councilman Smart.
Yeah, just clarify for me, are they leasing just the ball field area? Or it sounds like to me like they're leasing more than that,
well,
beyond that perimeter.
They're basically,
just so I know,
it's around the perimeter. We try to get it as close to the property line that we can so that we, so that our maintenance people don't have to go out and take care of it. So as far as we can get to the property, the parcel lines is what we try to get. That's reasonable and not, you know,
yeah,
4 or 5 acres.
Yeah, because when you said somebody's walking through the park and they see high grass, I mean, that's why I was curious as to
well,
exactly how much they're leasing.
Some of them.
Yeah.
And that's always the question. If a constituent called with a complaint and tells me where it is, I go out and look at it.
See whether
the first thing I'm looking at is
whether it's their territory,
yeah,
or ours.
Is it
okay, that makes
something
sense.
I need to address with Paul, or is it something internally with the lake?
Okay, that makes sense. That's those the only clarification I need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen it just on his comment. Gave me needed a little clarity, that's all.
There really isn't any room for another ball field, is there?
They, ironically, they would like to put a T-ball field in, but again, that's a...
So what, they would readjust everything?
And that's clearly a land use issue. That wouldn't be something
T-ball
special services to deal with.
Is this my copy?
Yeah.
This is your...
No, it's mine.
Okay. Is there any other... Councilman Weiner is present. Is there any other questions on...
Oh, yeah, that's...
From council?
River Road.
Yeah.
Any from the public? I guess move on to number 4, turf fields.
Can you send the
slow down back there?
That's a good one. They're opening this. Yeah. Got a bunch of other stuff too.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Michael Wiggy from the Department of Special Services. Tough to follow up a good piece of news like Bob just gave you all, but I have a possibility right now. What we'd like to discuss with you today are our plans to replace the natural field at Delcastle Rec area with turf field, why it's needed, what the project would look like, and the fiscal implications of it.
Just to give him some.
So I'll discuss today why are we proposing a turf field, where we're going to locate it specifically, the design and scope of the project, the cost of it, useful life and its implications, along with the return on investment and what the project schedule would look like. First of all, why are we proposing a turf field? Well, and this is the case in many locations throughout the county in our domain of parklands, but that particular field in Delcastle Rec area, commonly referred to as the pit, is very, very warm. I'm going to show you a picture in the coming slides that reflects an overhead shot of that field, and it's not an uncommon thing to see in our parks. There's so much play on it in a variety of purposes, soccer, cricket, football, pickup games of all sorts. There's actually a dry rut worn in the middle. Along with the dry rut, which is very obvious to the eye, if you walk the field, you would find that there's divots in between successfully planted and grown grass. So if you walked it or you ran on it in the course of normal play, it's very possible to get into yourself, trip, catch your foot, what have you. So it is the worn fields themselves do present a threat for the risk of injury. Anytime you have a natural field, there's a regular need to stop play for a period of time, to replant the field, re-irrigate it, give it a chance to recover and grow back to full thickness. I mean, ultimately, if a field, a natural field, has enough time to be taken out of play and watered and grown back, it could theoretically look as full as a turf field, like the background of that slide. We have so much need for capacity in our parklands, specifically this location, that that's become national scheduling impossibility. So we have a regular need to close the field and regrow and rehab it that we cannot meet. So the question becomes, what can we use to replace that natural field and so that we can keep a field prepared and ready for play as much as it's needed to ensure less maintenance, better safety, and a maximum of customer responsiveness? Just a little more about why that location is the right one to start with. We've got a combination of leagues, permits, and pickup games that get played there. And when I say an abundance, look at the center bullet point. Since April the 2nd, 2011, every single Saturday and Sunday from April 2nd of 11 through November 27th of 11 was booked. Beginning this spring, a few weeks ago, April 1st, every Saturday and Sunday is again booked through November 25th, 2012. Past history shows attendance averages 200 to 500 people per day just for that field at Belcastle Rec Area alone. Very popular, a lot of foot and vehicle traffic in the park just for that field. It's also a multi-purpose field. It's not just one sport, so there's all kinds of activities and traffic going on there. What that really means is it's appealing to a large variety of customers. What you see here are a ground level shot and an overhead shot of the field commonly referred to as the pit. If you look, here's McKenna's Church, here's the parking area. You can't really see this field from the parking area. It's kind of sunken in geographically, but this is the field we're talking about right now. You can see how the area is very dry, torn up and worn out. It's not uncommon, as I said, even the football field, which was just taken out of play last year, fully recovered, regrown, re-irrigated, is already worn down. So there's a regular need to do this, and if you have a full schedule of play, 9 to 12 months of the year, there's really no way to get it done. So that became a great candidate location to try this concept. Here's a closer shot of it. You know, if you arrive there right now, this coming weekend, when, you know, weather's expected to be nice and we're just sort of hatching out of spring, a lot of people want to get outside, they've been inside all winter. If you saw any kind of sport being played on there, you'd probably have to have a dust mask. A lot of things get kicked up, people are falling. Again, it's a dripping hazard, it's not comfortable to play on. It actually has an effect on how the players interact with the surface of the field and how the ball interacts, no matter what sport's being played. As we proceed into the project, so you know a little bit more of what it entails, we're looking at a synthetic turf system utilizing an under-drain system with a sand chrome rubber infill. We're going to include lighting towers, a security camera system, and the necessary equipment to conduct the regular maintenance on the field. Now that first few sentences is a real mouthful to describe technically. So our project administrator on it, Steve Rubel, was kind enough to give us a sample of the type of surface. I don't believe this is the very model, but I'd be happy to pass this around.
It actually is, Mike.
It is?
Yeah.
The type of surface that we're considering, it's actually, so far, it's written into the spec. We haven't gone out to bid yet, and I'll talk about that a little more in a minute, but this is the type of surface that we're looking at installing.
A question.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you.
Just before you, Councilman Bell is present.
Thanks.
First of all, thank you for the presentation. I certainly understand the need for this. The lighting towers, are there neighbors that would have objections?
There's already a well-established lighting system out there. We just renovated the softball quad. And, it's now at the point where, you know, we're at least greater than 5 years with the level of lighting we have out there, so it's an acceptable thing.
And the level lighting is not going to increase?
Well, it will be additional lighting.
I mean, in terms of ambient light going towards people's homes?
So it affects and all that. It could possibly. We will still have to go through the rigors of having the approval through land use as part of the project. They'll take a lighting sample, and they'll measure it according to standards in UDC and make sure that we're
okay. Because as we often find out, the UDC standards are subject to interpretation, and some folks feel that they can read in their bedroom at night with the lights, so just be careful of that unintended effect. Second question I want to ask is about the security camera system. A lot of times if someone comes in to do destruction, unless you're online, you know, you're looking at someone that's indistinguishable at night. What's the quality of the cameras? Are you going to be able to are they quality cameras that'll be able to catch the visibility or identify someone at night?
Under another project, we are very closely right now in touch with technology advances in security cameras.
Mm-hmm.
We intend to fix the facility so that cars don't drive out there and do what we call turf up the field.
Right.
And that way there'll be controlled access in and out of the field. We can strategically place those cameras, and like I said, the best available technology is out there right now for night vision, for still shots, for panoramic shots, digital recovery, digital storage. This is a better time than ever to consider using cameras.
Yeah, and the best thing, of course, is to catch a license tag or make a model
Absolutely.
Of a car.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Councilman Renner, then Councilman Smalley.
I got a few questions. How much is the turf field going to be?
I'm going to defer that question to Steve Rubel. He's the project engineer on it.
We haven't bid the project out yet, but our estimate is $250,000.
Actually, yeah, we have a couple slides at the end, but those are just estimates.
How much?
About $750,000 is our estimate.
Now, is that for the total? For the dirt, the sand,
it's
the padding, and the grass?
Yes.
Okay. $750,000, right?
Right.
All right. What's the longevity of it?
Also presented in the final slides, but I can just give you a little preview. There's 15-year life on it, and when you go to replace the actual surface, which is what has the 15-year life, you only have to replace the surface. The whole under system should still be intact, so the replacement cost is significantly less. But there's some specifics coming.
Okay, where's it coming from?
Well, we don't know yet. We do know that we intend to spec that type of surface or an approved equal in the spec, but it goes out of bid. We work well with it.
Because most of them come from around South Carolina and North Carolina, and they have some in Georgia too. But the longevity of them for the price of this is not the same one at Tower Hill School. One Tower Hill School has is a million plus. And theirs is rated for 10 years or better, but that has to do with all the maintenance they have to keep on it. And the field play for the price of this one that you're telling me about, what I found out is only 3 years, because it depends on the blade of the grass that you have, because the blade of the grass, some of them will go down after wear, they'll lay down. And they have to be put down right. That's the first thing. Because if they're not put down right, you end up with just like a rug. They start rolling on you. Somebody can trip. They can get hurt. They can end up with turf toes. They can end up with bad elbows, brush burns. So compared to a rut in the ground that we can fill in, you can't fill this in. And then the longevity of it is skeptical to me. How much is the fence going to cost? Is that in the $750,000?
I think that's included in the
$750,000. It's in the $750,000.
Well, then you're not really getting a good deal.
Replace
you're getting a good deal, but you're getting a far luxury.
Is it
the shaft? And how much? Oh, I'm not done. How much does it cost to reseed the fields? and put good grass in it. Shut them down and reseed them.
Paul, can you answer that question?
Paul Johnson, property manager. A typical soccer field, football field probably cost around $1,500 to renovate, material and supply. But the problem that we're having, like now we have number two soccer field shut down at Band, and we had to shuffle those games to another field, which means you're even increasing the usage and deteriorating the field that much more, and the grass isn't lasting as long as we were hoping.
Well, I believe Councilman Powers said there were some areas down below the canal that there can be fields put on. And by having an alternate field or having another field that people can play on, you have less play on all those fields. So you're switching them around. But it seems like we're not doing anything with it. We're just hanging same position that we are in right now. We're not innovating ourselves. We're just going to spend money after good money after bad, as far as I'm concerned.
Councilman Smiley, Kilpatrick, Street, Bell.
My question, well, I'm going to get to my question, but I want to wait, and I'd like to see the RFP put out and what comes back on that. Because I'm hearing we're going to pay roughly $750,000 for 15 years. I heard Tower Hill paid $1 million.
Million four.
For 10 years. So,
and that's one of the best fields out.
To me, that sounds like if the specs are right, we're getting a better deal than Tower Hill. So, I'm willing to wait for the RFP. I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about it. Back to Councilman Weiner's issue with the lights, which I'm still hearing about. We passed a code change that required lighting is going in adjacent to residential area that needs to go through the Board of Adjustment. So, you have existing lighting, but if you're going to expand it, I would respectfully suggest that we go through that process and allow the people in that community an opportunity to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And if you don't mind, Mike, I can speak a little bit to the just
say who you are.
Issues that Councilman brought
up. Announce who you are.
Yeah. Sure. Steve Rubel, Special Services. We were very sensitive to a number of the issues that you were bringing up as far as the material specs on the turf. We spent a lot of time looking at all of the products that are out there and developing specifications that are really for a product that you see here that's pretty much the highest quality product you can find. It addresses, you know, a number of the issues with the quality of the monofilament fiber you see in some of the other fields, you know, some of the other fields that have been installed in this country where you get lower quality. And even after 2-3 years, you see those fibers laying down, you see them splitting, and you get a lot of those issues. We're not going to have that with this field. We've got a 2-page spec that gets into a number of different issues to make sure that we get, you know, the highest quality turf.
That's why I asked you where they came from.
Yeah, what we're speccing right now is a turf from Desso. It's IDNA 60. And Desso is one of the best turf manufacturers out there. And it will be installed by, you know, American installers that would be certified by the turf manufacturer. And there are very few companies that will be able to match the specifications that we're requiring. And so we will be able to get this quality equal, you know, for the turf field at Del Castle. Address, you know, some of the issues that you brought up.
I'd just like to add to, you know, as part of our preparation process to go out on bid, we can certainly discuss things with Tower Hill and find out more about what they purchased and what they feel they've learned since the process. The technology is about 40 years old at this point, and if you do a little research on the history, you'll see it's come a long way. I mean, the things you talked about were certainly accurate. Turf toe and, you know, knee injuries and damage to the surface before very long, when it hasn't been around very long. But those things have been really worked on in terms of design, material specifications, and so forth. And, you know, something like what you're looking at, especially that particular brand, and that's why we said that brand or approved equal, the way we worded the spec so far, we are interested in getting the best available material.
Councilman Kovac is present, and Councilman Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
In Roser Park, in Hokesson, we have a turf field. It's a soccer field. We put it in, 5 years ago? It was a joint venture between Hockessin Soccer and the state of Delaware, and the cost of that was about $800,000 when we were completed. And they, the last I've talked to them, they really have not had any problems. Obviously, there's a different kind of maintenance that goes with those fields, and you have to do the maintenance in order to keep the grass the way it's supposed to be.
Councilman Sheldon is present. Councilman Street.
The chairman, and you know, if you're booking it every weekend and probably doing the week two from April to November, I don't care what you put out there, you're gonna have a major problem. I think it's overbooked. I think the difference between Terry Hill and what you're talking about is Terry Hill is used primarily, if not only, for football. They have other fields for other sports. In terms of athletes, I'm sure everybody in the room reads as much as I do. Some athletes love it, some athletes hate it. So at the end of the day, we're still gonna have decisions to make. But for $750,000, which after you do security and all that, probably go to $1 million, I think it's a major decision. And my final question, whose district is that?
Yes. Take a guess if it's hard.
Yeah, with controversy.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would kind of weigh in on the lighting. Are we changing the height of the towers? Are we changing the intensity of the lighting? Two questions. Are we changing the height of the towers? Are we changing the intensity of the lighting?
We'd have to get you that. I don't have the spec readily available, but
definitely like to have that. As Councilman Smiley said and Councilman Weiner brought up, I totally agree that I think it should go before the Board of Adjustments so that the public will have an opportunity. I attended opening day down at Bear Babe Ruth, 8:30 on Saturday morning, and several of the neighbors continue to remind both myself and Councilman Smiley of the wonderful lighting that's down there at the football field, that they can actually cook and do whatever they want in their home and be lit up at night.
Saving on my life.
So the coating definitely needs to be changed, but I can tell you that we need to really get serious and take this all into consideration, because if we're gonna cause another community the havoc that we're causing Emerald Ridge, then I wouldn't support it on the lighting piece of it.
Council President Kalak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Concerning the fields and the installation of turf, my understanding is it's not, you know, just something that's would be nice or an extra benefit. These fields are used so much that they're quite frankly reaching the point of being inoperable without putting in something that would allow them to take the abuse and the play and you know, there's in Councilman Redd's district, there are fields at what's that called, Banning Park over there, that, you know, schools utilize, or the county leagues utilize. And this is in a relatively, you know, economically challenged area, and those fields are chewed up. I mean, just chewed up. You know, and turf fields would allow, you know, people to play, the kids to play, the community to play, the Newcastle County. To be able to play. I mean, it's not like, you know, the choice between, well, just grass or turf, which is better. I've visited some of those fields and seen, you know, play on some of those fields.
Shut up.
And there's no grass. And it's actually dangerous conditions. It's significantly dangerous conditions that have led to injuries of people playing on those fields because the fields are just torn up. So, I mean, again, if we want to use these fields, then we need to make sure that, you know, we recoup the cost. I think I agree with Councilman Street again.
Oh,
that.
My God.
You know, it's a significant investment. But, you know, can we get a return on that investment? And if we can play more and we can book them more and they'll help pay for themselves and they're safer for our users, then that's something that we need to consider.
I'm about to cover that, as a matter of fact. But just to sort of look at a positive side to what your statement was, Council President, you know, our natural fields aren't keeping up with the need. But just,
I've been letting everyone else. I have a question.
Okay, thanks. Can you call me?
Yeah,
now. Your major problem you're not taking care of is you don't have enough fields. And you're trying to work everything on one field. And you can't shut it down because you don't have another field to move it to. And as Councilman Street said, what's this? Okay, Tower Hill has a 10-year guarantee. Just like Middletown has a football field that has the same thing, has two of them. But they're only played on for football and soccer. They're not played 24/7. So you're going to have the same maintenance problem on this stuff as you do in a field. Because you got too much traffic running on it. The major problem here is we don't have enough fields. And if you build more and you don't schedule them all on one field, some of these leagues that are going into Wilmington are coming out of Pennsylvania. They can run down to Middletown.
They can say what they want.
Or run somewhere else. But they don't need to be in Delcastle. But why are we not looking at building more fields and putting them on grass? It only costs $1,500. Problem is, we can't get in there and replant it when you should do under normal. I mean, if you plant a hay crop, you only plant it for 5 years. You replant it. Councilwoman Dillon.
Can we just see the presentation and then get into this? Well, I mean, I really think, you know, we're getting answers when you put together the presentation. If we have questions afterwards, but I mean, these guys have put together this presentation. I would like to hear it.
Part of it is we've been through this once before.
But I still would like to see the presentation.
Nobody says anything towards her. I've been taking questions the whole time.
Oh, I just want to make.
Glad I missed this chair meeting.
Well, there's a follow-up one next time, Tim. You can share that.
I just wanted to respond to one other thing that the council president said about the use. Notwithstanding the Councilman Powers' observations about usage, same thing. I mean, these things are spec'd for hours of use. Grass dies when it's been stepped on, kicked, tripped over too many times. You know, this is designed for a purpose, multi-purpose, different types of shoes, different weights of players, different levels of activity. And you'll see as we go into the fiscal element of this, the capacity that it presents to us at this one single location begins to make a whole lot of sense. In addition to that, even though it's not in the presentation, I'd like to have Mr. Bureau possibly comment on customer feedback we've had about interest in longer commutes. Not that it's the thing that ends up driving the decision in the end, but if you have a Pennsylvania team or a Northern Delaware team and you present with them the option of driving farther to get to a field, we've had some negative feedback about that. So it's ultimately not the single factor, but it's another one to consider as we move through this. So well, let me forget that. So to get through, I'd like to present some of the assumptions we've made in this pro forma return on investment. We believe that we're going to be able to pull in just over $58,000 yearly in revenue from, you know, the leagues and permits. We believe that 33% of it approximately would be used by the county, 36% of it would be subprime times, 31% prime times. And if we need more details on that, Mr. Bureau will be happy to give us that information. The fees for Newcastle County are going to be $50 a time surcharge for existing leagues. New leagues come into play, it'll be $150. The rental rates are going to be $50 for a two-hour time slot. We believe that the Newcastle County League time is estimated at capacity. And just going back to the subprime and the prime rental periods, we believe that 50% of the time in subprime time we're going to be able to rent it out, and 75% of the time in prime time we're going to be able to rent it out. So those are some of the financial assumptions that went into this. In years 1 through 15, we're going to put the turf in with the spec as described earlier for just over $730,000. The lighting and everything else involved, the annual maintenance put on top of that actually comes up to $855,000. That includes the annual maintenance. We intend to include in the specification the necessary equipment to do the regular maintenance on the field. So you run years 1 through 15 with a cost of $855,000. So you come up to year 16 according to the specification, and the actual surface is worn out and needs to be replaced. So at that point in time, you spend $463,000 to have the surface only replaced, you relamp the necessary lighting, an additional 15 years of maintenance, we included a slight escalator in there from $23,000 to $31,000. So for that second increment of useful life from year 16 to 30, we're looking at about $509,000. So keep in your mind, $855,000 for the first increment and $509,000 for the second increment. You compare the expected revenue for the first increment of useful life, years 1 through 15, we're actually ahead by $16,600. If you look at the second year, years 16 through 30, with some very modest assumptions about rental time, I might add, we're a little over $360,000 ahead. So this thing suddenly starts to make an awful lot more sense when you look at the minimal level of maintenance commitment that you have to invest in it, the additional amount of people you're going to be able to satisfy, and the positive fiscal spin that adds on it. Should we advance the project, we believe the calendar would look about like what's up here. We would submit the project to land use by the end of the month, expect that to come back within 30 days, put it out to bid, get the bids back in a month, the end of June, award the contract the end of July, and construction would be complete about 3 months later by the end of October. Any other questions?
Thank you. Like, you made a statement that people play on the fields, they tear them up, this and that. And I know a couple guys that are in here, and I do myself, when I get a chance, play golf. They go on golf fields. And when they're out there and are playing on the golf course, they're using metal. They're tearing it up. They're running over with golf carts. They're using, some use spikes, they tear it up with their natural spikes that they have, other than the metal ones that they're not allowed to use anymore. The golf courses are still there. The grass is still growing because they do maintenance on it, like Councilman Powers said. They put money back into it. And they play all year some of the golf courses around here. And in the wintertime is one of the worst time to play on a golf course, because if you tear it up, you don't have anything growing. But I, you know, what I see, it's still there. It's still growing. So we're not investing in the right grass seed, probably. Yeah, it might cost $1,500. And I talked to Paul about, before we came into the meeting, about some other buffalo rye grass. It's expensive. There's less mowing on it, so there's less maintenance. The growth has deeper roots, and it doesn't grow as much, so you don't have to cut as much. Three or four times a year, you cut it. Are we investing in that? No. Do we put it? No, but we're going to go spend over $1 million to put a field in that we don't know that's going to last. Only what they're telling you. Vet Stadium had it. They got rid of it. A lot of football stadiums have it, and they're getting rid of it because they got to put maintenance in it, and they don't last. People are getting hurt. Where are we at with this? We're going to spend over $1 million. We're going to tell somebody to give 2.5% back so they can pay for their health care? I can't justify saying we're going to put $1 million into something and then ask somebody for 2% back. To me, that's, I can't go that way.
While our property maintenance folks do an absolutely superhuman job, all things considered, with the kind of work output they give us every day, no field is being maintained at the standard level of the golf course, and perhaps that's the standard for analysis that we should use for this, because we haven't so far. You know, we took a field down at Banning, we took it out of play for how many months, Paul? So 2 months?
3 months.
3 months. We brought it back, it looked fabulous. It was well grown, there was blades of grass 4 inches high, we intentionally let it overgrow, we cut it down to playing size, and literally within 3 or 4 weeks, it looked almost as tore up as it did. Now, if that was maintained at the level that a golf course would be, which means, I guess, collecting additional fees from everybody who plays on it, you know, $200 tee time, it means irrigation running at all hours of the night, it means security, it may mean you can't allow a member of the public to be on a field when they believe it's a public field, I mean, there are certain things that would come into play that we would have to bring into the discussion.
Councilman Street.
Well, at the end of the day, I just think this sword is going to cut two ways, because you could reverse, and I understand what you're saying, Councilman Redder, by the same token, Councilman Cryers knows this far better than I do, but all grass doesn't grow well in Delaware. And so you got to be in terms of what's going to actually live and what's going to die. But the other is, you go to put in, you reseed it, you go to put in an irrigation system. You go to put an irrigation system in, you're probably going to end up spending between $300,000 and $500,000 to maintain it that way. So it's going to be six on one hand, half dozen on the other. But my question was, when you're down for this period of time for construction, where are you going to book the folks who would normally be booked for fields from the time period to the end of October?
Well, our need to move play, sometimes ad hoc, is pretty regularly handled. You don't mind, Mr. Farrow, would you comment on that? What plans do we have to, during the expected period of construction, reschedule those that are booked, or haven't we even booked yet?
Sure. Andy Biro from Sports and Athletics Administrator. We feel that we have sufficient enough capacity on the unused times of our existing fields to be able to accommodate. Primarily, what we have for usage at Delcastle is weekend usage. It's Saturday and Sunday for league play. We can move those over to some spots. My office holds permits for our soccer leagues that we run, that we don't use, just as a way to kind of rest fields and use fields if a field goes down because it's really wet one day, we can switch to another field. So we have some fields in the bank that we can use, and we think we can successfully accommodate everybody without telling any particular group that you can't play on a field for 3 months.
And I would respectfully suggest that Councilman Sheldon's going to have to carry this, but if that's the case, which I thought was the case, then it would just seem to me common sense would say we could be doing some of that now in terms of scheduling to save the field some, and may not have the challenge that we have to the extent that we have, because if you book it every weekend and sometimes during the week from April to November, I don't think if you put this $750,000 stuff up there, you're going to lose that too. But that's your problem. I'm done with it now. I got no dog in this fight.
Councilman Tackett, President, Councilman Diller.
I have nothing personal for or against turf. Okay, I'd like to just make that clear. But if you were going to put a field aside to reseed it and let it go, how many extra fields would we need to be able to handle what we've got, putting them aside, and then keeping what teams we've already got in play during that time? Do we need one more? Do we need two more? What do we need?
Well, one leading ingredient into that answer is, what is the service area of the candidate location you're talking about?
Okay.
If you're talking about somewhere like Glasgow, there's probably, and I hope I'm not stepping over out of bounds here with the facts, but I would venture a guess that Glasgow is more permitted than picked up. Mm-hmm. But if you go into other areas, the activities, whether it be pavilion, pickup games, people driving through the park, it's more spontaneous and not permitted or leagued play.
Right.
Now, that being the case, you can look at your history and you can say, well, you know, I've issued 200 permits and, I don't know, for lack of a better number, 1,000 hours of league play. So we believe to reschedule that, we need 8 fields. Mm-hmm. But you never are going to be able to accurately tell how much pickup play there is. There's no sign in, sign out. It's free at will, to the exclusion of when time is actually scheduled. So I guess the answer to your question is, it really depends on the location and the constituency it serves.
So for my unsports-minded brain, what you're saying is that you've got leagues that are playing, then you've got pickup games that just happen. And so part of what you're trying to do here is figure the usage for both. When you're looking at both the idea of doing this turf field plus if you needed extra fields, there are a lot of variables out
there.
Okay.
The company would spec out the materials. We would take to that site and we'd say, look, this is how much time we know we've scheduled on here. Look at the condition of the field. These are the activities we've seen. What do you believe, you know, the actual extrapolated number of hours on? And that's how the spec is identified. Of lower, higher grade, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Council President Kovac and Councilman Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following up with Councilwoman Diller's lead, taking a look at this, not grass versus no grass, I think I heard during the presentation that this $750,000 expenditure plus expenses of $833,000, you're anticipating with the, I guess, what I'll call conservative estimates on revenues, that the revenues are going to cover the expenses of the installation and maintenance of this field. Is that what I heard based
on
this?
That is an accurate statement, yes.
Okay. Now, compare that to what we have today. I heard $15,000 number, annual maintenance, which isn't working. Nobody thinks it's working. It's under-maintained, or we're not using good enough grass, or whatever. So even assuming we went $15,000 for 15 years, I mean, we'd be at a cost of close to $200,000 for fields that aren't working. So from an economic analysis, you know, not grass versus no grass, but you have a field which is anticipated to pay for itself versus crappy fields which cost us $200,000. You know, I'm not sure, you know, looking at it from that perspective, it seems to be a clear decision. But what about the concerns that the field won't last for 15 years? Do we have a guarantee?
Absolutely.
Do we have a, you know, contract? Is this, if this breaks down early, can we go back to the manufacturer and say it's your cost to replace it? Can you share some of that?
Absolutely. I mean, we write into the specification, you know, the actual scientific spec itself, what the performance standards are for it. It includes warranty information, what the required maintenance would be, and we, you know, we live up to our end and hold them accountable to theirs, like we would in any agreement.
And have we looked at, I mean, obviously, Hokesson has their fields down at
Kirkwood.
Kirkwood has their fields. Up in Westchester, Westchester has their municipal fields up there. Have we studied these? And, you know, are their programs working, or is their maintenance working, that sort of thing?
We've actually, between Community Services and Department of Special Services, talked to a few of those. Before we eventually put the spec out here, you know, we want to collect all the best available data, find out what the lessons learned have been. That final step hasn't been taken yet.
Councilor Sheldon and Councilman Carter.
Is this going to be done all year round? Are you planning on scheduling this, the leagues to be all year round?
Andy Biro with Sports Again.
I got about five questions, because I'm sorry I'm late.
Yes, we are. One of the benefits that we get from having a turf facility is you get year-round playability. The only time we won't be able to play is during lightning and thunder, and when the snow's too deep that, you know, we don't want to put a snowplow on the field, although organizations do that. You can brush the snow off, and, you know, once it gets a couple inches deep, it melts because of the heat that's retained in the field. But you get year-round playability with the exception of your snow days.
Okay. Are you also playing? The reason why I know, it just so happened, I ran in, and Joe would love this guy's name, Antonio Dominiani. That is an Italian name. He's a branch manager at Wells Fargo up in the northeast of Philadelphia, and he just happens to be the president of the soccer leagues in Philadelphia. It happened Monday. Because I wasn't for this at first. And talked to him like 2 weeks ago, and then I really talked to him yesterday, and he really showed it. Are you also going to have lacrosse? Can you, or are you expecting, if there's not enough soccer leagues, to be able to turn it into a cross fields, to do other painting, to be able to do for the little, what do I want to say, teens, below teens, the 9 to 12 year olds, to make the soccer fields when they play 8 on 8 sideways,
Sure.
He told, because he's asking, and this is the reason, look, these questions he talked to me Monday about, so I knew nothing about this. Because he's telling me he can't rent a field. Again, this is Philadelphia. He says, but the turf fields, they're charging $300 an hour up there. I'm sure we can't get it here. But he says they play on the lights, which we're going to have here, and they can play it all weather. And he's saying he's got to fight the lacrosse. It's booked up. He said, our biggest problem is whoever the schedule is. Because he said there will not be a time once this gets out that it's not going to be scheduled. This is him talking. I have no idea. I just asked him about five different questions, but he showed me where that they line out the fields, if we could think about this, in like four different ways. You'll see blue paint, and he says that's for the lacrosse. He showed me what the white is for that, and he says, really, you could actually play football on it too, and it was lined for football, but he said he'd never used it for that. It was soccer only. But they had going across, and he personally, he changed me around on this, I'm going to tell you, because he says, you'll get your money. He says, if you make sure it's all year round, and you have a brush little mower that can go back and forth if it's just dusting and snow like that, and he said, the pellets are your maintenance, the rubber things. So, is that all true? Are we thinking about that? I know like four questions in one.
Our assumptions that we put into our fiscal model were very modest compared to what you're telling us. They assumed, I think, 50% county league occupancy and 75% outside league occupancy. The rates seemed like ours were lower, our assumptions, than what you just quoted. So, I mean, I think, based on what you're telling us is good input from a living example, if anything, our fiscal model is going to end up more positive than we've depicted it here.
Well, I'm just asking, can we consider that before it comes up to a vote and everything? Because if it's going to be all year round and it's never done and it's used at least all weekend and every single day during the week for the 350 days anyway, I think it helps out council to at least look at it.
I think what we can do in response to that request, Councilman, is we can take the modest assumptions which we made here and then establish an upper end and say, you know, we believe this is the possible range of what could occur. Here are the conditions we put into. We can come back to you with that.
But you would have to consider the lacrosse and everything else and the fields going across for the midget league is what they call it.
Yeah, Andy Bureau of Sports and Athletics. In this financial model that we did, this field, our initial proposal was to line this field for soccer and flag football. We don't want to line it for regular football because we don't want regular football. First of all, we won't have the time to play regular football. Councilman Redder referred to some of the overuse of fields and the worn spots on fields. Tackle football takes its toll on turf fields, and you have to constantly rebrush the areas in the in between the inbound lines in the middle of the field. We're not going to line this field for tackle football. We're going to line it for flag football, which is just 20-yard lines and 40-yard lines. Our estimates are with soccer and flag football, we will fill this field, fill the calendar for this field for the entire season. We have the ability, they make products where you can actually, it's a turf field paint, where you can paint field hockey and lacrosse or your other sports on. We don't want to line it for field hockey and lacrosse on the get-go and the permanent lines that are in the field. Because if you've ever played on a field like St. George's that has a turf field, you run around on a turf field that has four different sports lined on it, and you don't know where you're going. As a high school football official, I can tell you it gets very confusing when you have white lines, red lines, yellow lines, and orange lines on a field. You lose yourself. We could put those lines on the field, but we won't have the capacity to accommodate all those sports.
So you'll be sold out anyway, is what you're saying.
With those two sports, which is what encompasses that financial model, is flag football and soccer. We will fill that calendar for that.
All right, thanks.
Councilman Cardian?
Yeah, like my fellow Councilmember Diller, you know, I don't have any strong feelings about this either way. I am concerned that, you know, we have fields available to promote recreation and, you know, involve youth in productive sports activities. I think that's a very important mission for this county, and it contributes hugely to the quality of life for our constituents, our citizens. I guess, you know, what I kind of look at here is, you know, you can't discount the fact that this product has probably gone through tremendous amount of development over time. Okay, and I think that applies to any type of product that you can look at. So I would say, you know, there's probably been a lot of changes to improve the life and of a product like this. My only concern would be, you know, they're warranting it for a very long time, for very intensive use, right? Right. So we're going with a warranty with a company, right? Well, companies, especially in this day and age, don't have longevity. You know, you can always have a company leave the business, right? So how does a warranty work in that situation? You know, you've got them bound into contract language and a spec, but if they go bankrupt or, you know, get merged and somehow those warranties are set aside, I mean, it can happen. That's a risk. So what do we do to mitigate against that potential risk if, in fact, you know, all of your other arguments hold true about that over time this, in fact, becomes a positive net income earner because we can get the frequency of play that we want? How do we protect ourselves against, you know, a failed warranty program?
Well, that obviously is something to be investigated. I mean, there may be some surety provisions that purchasing could help us understand, or the law department, that we could incorporate into the agreement.
Because I would agree with everybody here. You know, you're talking about a very, very, very large investment here, okay, in a very constrained time, okay? But I need to have some sense of that we will be protected against, you know, manufacturer's warranty not being honored. And there are plenty of examples of that in the business world today. So
that's something we can come back to you on.
Okay.
Councilwoman Patrick.
Thank you. I just have a couple of comments. I don't know if you've looked at Caravelle Academy's field. They put one in, what, 3 or 4 years ago? That's a field that's used probably 5 nights a week, all day Saturday, at least half days on Sunday, anytime there was a high school game that couldn't be played because it was rained out, whether it was soccer or football, they automatically just switched the games over to Caravelle. And those games, I used to live across the street from Caravelle, those games went on well into the winter. In December, they were still playing soccer on those fields. So they may be able to give you historically some information on, you know, how they're wearing. The other thing is, in traveling, you see that when you're looking at sports fields, that this state is very much behind the curve on turf fields. Other states, other jurisdictions have been putting turf fields in on their schools and their parks long, long ago. Some of them, you know, before we even knew that such a thing existed. So I think we need to look at it. If this is the future, maybe we need to look at where we believe that these fields should be. And some of that comes down to what we believe our commitment to the public is on these fields. Do we believe that it's our responsibility to give them those fields to play on? In another life, I worked with a sports team. We did not have a turf field. And I can tell you, we prayed for the days that we were playing out of town the next weekend, because by the time we were done on Saturday playing a game, it took all of a week or two to get those fields back in order. And in many cases, if it was a bad week, if it was a rainy week or something, we just didn't make it.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as the actual managing of the field and the bookings, is there any preference given or any window of opportunity for leagues that are in Newcastle County first? Do we actually have leagues from out of state that will book our fields? And how does all that work?
Travel leagues.
Andy Bureau from Sports again. We do give preference to in-county teams. What we see a lot of is when we give permits out for a league, There'll be some out-of-state teams that play as part of that league. There'll be out-of-state players that come in as part. But the permit holders are county permit holders, and the majority of the teams in those programs are county residents.
Now, I'd just like to see our investment benefit the folks from New Castle County. And the other thing would just be as a follow-up presentation. You had kind of a timeline there. It'd be helpful to add in there the Board of Adjustment hearing as required by this council.
Councilman Tackett.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, on the same lines as my good friend Councilman Cartier, I was just going to ask, had you look at trying to get the price down in any way, perhaps by structuring, you know, like whatever, a 5, 10, and perhaps the 15-year warranties to see, because I'm sure you're looking at, you know, I guess they're giving you possibly a higher cost because they're looking at possibly having to replace it in 15 years totally. Who knows? So I don't know that would leave you, but it's something maybe I guess you've kind of looked at. Have you ever had problems or we experienced problems in the past on our fields with pickup games perhaps being played or in the middle and then a permit game shows up and says, now you all got to get off the field, you know?
Yes.
To the... comply pretty, you know,
sometimes
compliantly.
That's a peaceful exchange, whether it be on a field or in a pavilion. Sometimes it involves the police.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you kind of wonder if it, you know.
Yeah, we've had that problem. That's true.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure. What, you know, see, and I wonder, too, if we put this field in and spend this money and now it's going to be used, you know, so extenuously, is it in turn going to, let's say, send our other field somewhat vacant? So now we're not recouping any revenues from them and everything's going over here? I mean,
I think we, you know, we haven't talked a lot today about the constituency that is interested in league play in our facilities and what's driving it. Young people go to their parents for things to do. And it's a $70 trip for two kids to go to the movies on the weekend. And people aren't traveling, they're working two jobs. Going to the ball field and knock around with your family on a pickup game or going, getting involved in a league, that's an attractive thing that as long as the economy continues to slump, it's going to go in the opposite direction. It's completely indirectly related. And I think that that growing constituency is going to strengthen this direction.
So I guess you're saying no.
I'm saying I don't think it's going to cannibalize. I think the demand is going to continue to grow.
See, one concern I do have is I have a community right now that, you know, Councilwoman Diller is going to be inheriting in Scottfield where we'll get a couple hundred people show up to play a pickup game over there.
Yeah,
and we've got to call the police, you know, and they're parking in front of people's driveways and on their lawns. And, you know, this is a pickup game because, you know, we try to explain to people, no, they're going to have to be good neighbors when they're in there. But just because they're there, you know, they don't necessarily have to have a permit. These are taxpayers' dollars that are paying for these fields, and they have every right to show up, although we do, I guess, regulate the number that should be there, and they would have that police officer. But that's my only concern. And, you know, any feedback, you know, try to alleviate if we heard, you know, complaints of constituents saying maybe, you know, the field's always being used. You know, you took taxpayer dollars to build it, and now I can't even play a pickup game.
I had a couple questions. I mean, even if you build this, I think you still better look at other fields to build. I got a question for Paul. What grass are you growing?
Right now we're growing turf type tall fescue, the athletic field mix made by Lofts Pennington, and it's pretty much the best grass seed that you can grow in this area.
Because I went to meetings this past winter for my pesticide and nutrient management, and one thing that I've learned is there's a lot of new grasses out there, and there's a lot of forages for farms, and the reason is the research was all done on turf grasses that they found they grew too much. So they're like, it doesn't work for a golf course or a sports field, but it works for agriculture. And if it wasn't for the turf industry, we wouldn't have had as much research going on in the past 5 to 10 years. There's so much grass out there, I don't think you and I know what's out there right now. I had no idea this past winter going that there were all these new grasses out there.
Well,
that can handle drought, handle pressure on top of it, you know, for cattle. They were, some of these grasses were to go into pasture to redo it because it could handle cattle walking on it in a drought and coming back again. And, you know, we grew fescue for a long time, too.
I mean, one service that we have at our disposal that we take advantage of on a routine basis is the research and development team through Pennington. They do all the research for us. We tell them we're trying to grow on athletic fields. They're heavily used, and that's what we're using, the athletic field.
But that's one seed company. A lot of these seeds are coming through different universities through Extension. Mm-hmm. I would say more get up with Extension because Pennington deals with me, too, but they're only going to sell whatever seed they have. You know, I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that in the turf end of it that I had no idea there was that much going on.
I was just going to say, I mean, we always talk about having children and kids, you know, when they're busy at 9 o'clock at night on a soccer field, they're not out there doing something else. We've preached that about 10 times here from different people. I just wanted to let that be known. That was something else that he said. I just wanted to talk to Joe that there's no J in Italian. That's why that guy's name is like that. I want to bust his chops, but that's all.
I just want to say, I mean, anything to keep kids out. I just feel either way, where it sounds like we need more fields.
Didn't say that's good.
Because you're still going to have the turf fields that you're overdoing. That the, you know, part of it is you probably can't schedule them 24/7. When you're over here, now you're going to be over there. So. Wayne.
Wayne Marinac, General Manager of Special Services. Glad to be back here, too.
Yeah, right.
Please don't come tomorrow.
We appreciate your support in wanting to buy more parkland. Glad to see that. If you wish to take the initiative on the revenue side of that,
we already got parkland.
The fact of life is parks are expensive. Yeah. Buying land is expensive. Whether we have a turf field or we have a grass field is expensive. If we expand, and I heard the question, and Andy's the guy that... He's the guy that permits them all the time. The question was, how many fields do we need? We probably have to quadruple the number of fields. Okay? That means people. This is a great discussion. I mean, it really is. I really enjoy it. You know, I'm great. I'm glad to have all the support. But the fact is, it's a very expensive operation. And to do the things that we need to meet the demand is going to be more money. And in today's environment, we're just trying to get through it. Okay? Just to wrap up for the day. And I'm pretty much the same way. You know, I don't care whether you use grass or turf. The fact is, it sounds like, as Kilpatrick said, you go around a lot of other states, there's a lot of other turf fields out there that have been out there for quite a while. And they're getting better. They are getting better. I don't have the right answer to this. I don't think any of us do. But we know, Andy says he's turning people away that need to want a permit. Yeah, we need more fields. Sounds like this kind of field will allow us to maximize at least that part of the area. I think the question about the lighting is a very good question. I've been in the civic community for any period of time, you know that's always a hot button item. You know, and that's a big hurdle, because if you got the lights, then obviously people can play much later in the evening. But if you got a community near that, that creates a whole separate problem. So it's a conundrum. We appreciate the great discussion about it.
Councilman Tackett.
I just had one other general question that Wayne spurred my memory on, and speaking of Andy and permitting, why do we only permit from April 1st? It almost seems like a hard set in stone, etched. I mean, you know, when we checked in this, fortunately, I guess for the fact, this spring we were blessed with a lot of very nice weather. However, I think we're going to pay for it a little bit later this summer. But, like, the parks and the pavilion stuff could not be permitted until April 1st. We missed a whole big opportunity, and we're talking about revenue, just open it up, and we had a lot of people tell us they were trying to rent them, but we're told you can't until April 1st. How come that's so religiously kind of set in stone? I mean, how come we couldn't act just a little bit faster to get the utilities on the water and let's permit it? Especially in...
I'm not sure if Paul Johnson is scratching his chin or anything. Yeah,
I'll try to answer that. I think the... At least for the pavilions, Paul Johnson, property manager, at least for the pavilion part of it, we try to coincide and work with building maintenance on when the utilities are turned back on and de-winterized. I defer to Andy. I don't see there being a problem with permitting the athletic fields earlier than that. But usually, April 1st is a good time frame for us to turn the water and stuff back on, so there's no freeze problems and stuff like that. So that's been the main reason. Now they could probably run them without utilities. That may be an option, but again, I don't want to speak for Andy.
Councilwoman Patrick.
But I think there are exceptions to that, because we just had a big soccer tournament a couple weekends ago, and it was in March, and we permitted some of the parks and the fields for that. So it may be generally April 1st, but they do make exceptions. And that is another department. It's not your department.
If a request comes in and we, you know, the permittee agrees that they don't need utilities and it's not going to require us a lot of overtime and stuff like that, we do make exceptions.
Wayne Mayor.
Just call the company back. It's a question. I was just talking to Andy about it. He said this, well, because of the weather, this year was an exceptional year where he was being requested more than any other past year. Right, in March. So usually, obviously, if the change in weather continues, we'll get usual warm springs that we have.
Well, we're not off. Councilman Street.
Just to, in response to comments made by the acting director, I think he said, I support additional fields. And I support athletics, and the reason for that is not only immediate concern expressed by Councilman Sheldon in terms of keeping kids off the street and out of trouble, things that athletics promotes in terms of discipline, character, used as a motivator, which we're all familiar with. Second, what most folks don't often think about enough, in my opinion, is because of Title IX and what colleges now have to do in terms of athletics, scholarships, athletic scholarships is really, really a good way for kids who otherwise could not go to college, an opportunity for them. And it's now male and female who have those opportunities in terms of athletics. And third, and one of the things that happened in the 60s is a lot of adult leagues were started. And the fact of the matter is some of those adult leagues still exist, and that was because that a lot of adults who have their kids, and if you don't have something for them to do, they'll get in trouble too.
Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very quickly, and for the second time today, maybe it's a record, just echo the comments of Councilman Street.
Oh, my.
But I mean, it's critical, and if we're looking at ways to save money and provide a better service for our county, if these artificial turf fields can allow us to recoup our cost and provide a better system and a better opportunity for not only our adults who play in these leagues, but for the children to play in these leagues, it's something I think we should seriously consider. And to follow up with that, is a general proposition our adult leagues are self-sufficient in their fees and costs? Is that generally correct?
I think we had an analysis on that, and it was substantially break-even.
So, I mean, and that is considering the maintenance and upkeep on these fields. The adult leagues are paying for that. And then the other opportunities for the children to use those fields are almost subsidized by the adult usage and the adult recreation on those fields. So again, if we can explore an opportunity that provides an outlet to use the fields more and provide a better return on our investment and to cover our costs and save us more than $200,000 a year in maintenance for fields that aren't working so well, it's probably something we should seriously consider. So thank you.
Councilman Redding?
Yeah, what's the return? How long is it going to take for us to get some of our money back before we start?
They got to raise the rate from 50 to 300.
Well, if we don't put the fields in, and we continue as is, what we'll have is...
No, the object right now is a turf field.
Right.
How long is it going to take us to start getting our money back?
Well, if we proceed according to the following schedule, we need to amend this to include time for the Board of Adjustment. I don't know what the displacement would be. Let's say through the end of the year. And we started scheduling as early as weather permits. with Andy's guidance, January or February, even, let's say. After
after the field's put in, right, and they're starting to play on it, how long is it going to take us to start getting our return back?
Well, at the end of 15 years, we're 16,000 ahead. So, I mean, I won't do it in my head, but the individual year-by-year breakdown, you put out the 855 all at once up front, and it takes you till just under 15 years to recover that back. So we'll bring fees in, but we won't recover our $855,000 cost probably until year 13 and a half.
So in the meantime, we're still going to have maintenance on it.
Absolutely, yep.
And you won't see any profitability for at least 3 to 5 years.
You won't see any profitability until about year 13.
Well, that's not what they're putting out. They're putting out 3 to 5 years before you start to see a return on any of your money. So if you're saying 13 and they're saying 3 to 5.
Right. Just to answer, are you charging the same rate for this field as we would on a turf field, Andy?
Andy Bureau with Sports and Athletics. No. All the revenue that you see proposed in these slides here is additional new revenue to support the cost of this field.
But what is it for a turf field compared to what it, I mean,
so the rental rates are
I mean, turf to me is something a cow can eat. But artificial turf.
Synthetic.
Synthetic to turf, right? I mean, I've grown turf all my life. Anyway, back to the difference between the two fields. I mean, it should be a higher rate on this because of what the cost is.
It is.
Plus the lighting.
The proposal that we used to develop this financial analysis was a $50 per two-hour time slot for a rental rate. Now, I will tell you right now that is substantially lower than the rental rate.
$300.
Yeah.
I mean, we really ought to be adjusting that to what the local area is.
That's why they're coming down.
The schools and the private complexes that have it, they have dead time on their field because people can't afford to play on it. What we used for revenue estimates were very, very conservative. We could probably rent our fields for $50 for 2 hours for a half a field. And they're... So you put two bookings on one field, especially if it's just for practice, because you practice sideways. Our revenue projections are very, very conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was said here, Chief, that would make it a lot easier for the rest of council, Chief, if we were competitive in the ring. You know, if they want to be on a grass field, good. But if they want to be on a $1 million field.
And then the other thing, too, is for all of the adult leagues, there are surcharges onto the existing league fees. If it's a new league or if it's an existing league that's going to be moving from a grass field, they're going to pay an additional $50 on their league fee. If it's a new league that we're putting in this field for the first time, it's an additional $150 on top of the league fees that they're paying now, which are anywhere between $250 and $500.
Sir, any other questions from council? Any from the public?
Is this going to be a resolution or an ordinance? Or is this in the budget?
It's in the budget, I believe.
Yeah, that approved the budget. That no one could finance all this. This project was approved back in 2007 by council. This came from our third, we're talking about it for 5 years.
Perfect.
All right, good. God was counting votes. It was Kovacs Street in Sheldon, so I went through that. I went through that apology 2 years ago, but it was Tansy, so.
This is the current project.
It goes under.
This is 2007.
Stone Age grass. We got one more thing. The public safety building cooling tower. Who's doing that?
I'd be happy to continue.
Greg Wilson, county attorney. We have a couple things. We have First Sisters Wavy has a presentation on the cooling tower. We also set aside time for an executive session to discuss the legal ramifications. I'm not sure in the 9 minutes left if the spirited turf field discussion we have time for that.
Why don't we just put it on the next meeting? We already skipped. I had already sent it to Stephanie. Good. We'll do that next week. Is there anything else from council? Any public comments?
I'm going to Nick back.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Very nice.
Okay, you gonna go?